You turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter number 84. Psalms, chapter number 84. This has been on my heart this week, and I preached for a few minutes out of it. I was allowed a privilege to preach yesterday at Brother Jamie's tent revival, and we looked into this, and to be honest with you, the Lord has laid it on my heart tonight. Pray that it would be a help to you, as it has been to me. Psalm chapter 84, whenever you turn there, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word? Psalm 84 and verse number 1. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. I want to look mainly in verse number 6 tonight on this subject, digging a well. Digging a well. You can be seated. Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be found in your house tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd give us that strength. Let us pass from strength to strength, from strength to greater strength. Lord, you know the condition of our hearts tonight. Lord, we pray for a touch. Lord, hide not thy face from thine anointed. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would help and bless. All is vain if you do not. Lord, please help us. God, we ask for your mercy and your grace. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing and reading the chapter. I know this may seem familiar to you. We read it actually just a few Sundays ago, maybe last Sunday, Sunday before last. We just read it. And it's been on our hearts since then, and especially what we've looked at and studied in verse 6. Now, we preached on this subject, actually, probably several months ago now, but I'm always amazed how you can look back in the same text, and God allows you to find things that you never saw there. You were sure that you exhausted the text and that you got everything there was, and just when you think you got it all, the Lord shows you there's layers upon layers more that you can find inside the wonderful Word of God. But I want to preach tonight on this subject, on digging a well. In case you may not have noticed, this chapter is all about the joy of coming to and dwelling in and worshiping inside the house of God. You can see, look with me in verse number 1. This is made very, very clear. He said, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." That word amiable means lovely. How lovely is thy name, and how lovely is the house of God. What a wonderful description of God's house. There's a lot of people with a lot of different descriptions about church, but I pray my description of church would be, it is lovely. Friend, it's lovely when we come to the house of God. In verse number 2, he said, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord." That is referring also to the house of God, the tabernacle, the courts of the Lord. These refer to God's house, to His dwelling place, to His sanctuary. He said, not only is your house lovely, but I long for your house. I faint for your house. As the deer panteth for the water, as the hart panteth for the water, so my soul panteth for you and longs to be in your house. There was a fainting there. He said in verse number 3, he said, yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. In other words, he said, your house is lovely in verse 1. In verse 2, he said, I long and I faint to be in your house. And then he said in verse number 3, he said, the swallow, the sparrow, the bird, they have made a nest, and their nest is their home. And as their nest is their home, even the altars of God will be my home. Can it be said that we're so devoted to God's house that His altars are a home? You know what I love how He included? He said, they have a nest where they may lay their young. In other words, He said, not only is your house my house, your altars my house, but it's a place where I'm going to bring my young. This is a place where the young can be raised. You want to know where's a safe place in the world for your children to be raised at? Friend, it is the altars of God. Friend, you want to know the best place that for your kids, the best thing you can do for them is bring them to the house of God. Friend, you say, I don't want to force it upon my kids. I don't want to force them to come here instead of other places. Friend, I want you to know the best thing you can do is keep them here more than anything else. Friend, you may not like it, and they may not like it, but friend, spiritually, the best thing for them is to be raised in the house of God. Sing this young man, sing this song. How old is he? 3 years old? 3 years old, singing about the name of Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the name that will change his life one day when he calls upon Him. Friend, there is no better place to be found for our families than the house of God. He said in verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. He said in verse 10, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. This psalm is all about God's house. I told him just yesterday, and I tell you, I've not been in the ministry very long compared to many others, but in the time that the Lord's allowed me to work for Him, I cannot even begin to count, and I cannot even begin to tell you of all the excuses that people have given for not coming to the house of God. I've heard them time after time, and you have too. I've heard people say, and I wrote a little list here, I was told recently, I subscribe to Christ, but I do not subscribe to the church. I've heard one say, I am spiritual, but I am not religious, so I don't come to church. I've heard one say, I have a private relationship with God. I don't need a public relationship with God. I heard one say, and you've heard many say, I worship God better in nature, out on the boat, out in the woods, than in the church house. I've heard things like this, they're all hypocrites down there. I've heard things like this, God knows my heart, so I don't need to go to church. Friend, I want you to know when you stand before God one day, friend, all the excuses that people have made for not coming to God's house, they will be as chaff in the wind of God's judgment. Not a one of them will stand before God on that day and tell Him their good excuses and their clever ideas for why they did not come to church. Friend, there is no reason for neglecting the house of God. You may say, I subscribe to Christ, but not the church. Friend, you cannot separate the church from the Christ. He is the head of the church, and we are the body. To separate Christ from the church is to sever the head from the body, and you just can't do that. Friend, Christ is our Savior. He is in us, and we are in Him, and the church is His, and He is ours. Friend, you cannot neglect the house of God if you are going to serve the God of the house. You say, I have a private relationship with God. I don't need a public one. If our private relationships with God are so private, we can't make them public by going to church, then they may be so private that God doesn't even know about them. And friend, we could go down the list. We could battle every excuse there is. And friend, that's really not really my intention, because we're all here at church tonight, all right? None of us should be giving an excuse for why we're not here, because we're here, right? Friend, what I'm getting at is this. I've often wondered, when I've heard these excuses, I've often wondered what these people would say if they would simply take the time to read Psalm 84. Maybe that's what we ought to use when we hear somebody say that. Friend, their excuses would melt as a wax figurine before the blast of a furnace when they would read the words, "How lovely are thy tabernacles." Why do you go to church? Because it's lovely. If you don't get saved by going to church, then why do you go to church? Because my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the house of God. I must go for the same reason I must eat, because I need it and because it is good for my soul. Why do you go to church? Because blessed is he who dwells in the house of God. Why do you go to church on Sunday instead of going elsewhere? Because one day in the courts of the Lord is better than 1,000. Why do you go to church day after day? Because I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Friend, this Psalm 84 encompasses the reasoning of why we ought to go to church and why we ought to love it. And we see this psalm breaks it down. This psalm is all about the delight that we ought to have in God's house. We ought to delight in it. We ought to delight. How lovely is it? We not only ought to delight in it, we ought to have a desire for it. There ought to be a delight in God's house. There ought to be a desire for God's house. And then there ought to be a devotion to God's house. We ought to delight in it, have a desire for it, and be devoted to it. We need in this day and age some people devoted to God and then to God's house. We need some people that will be willing to be here. Some people that will long and will yearn for the house of God. And this is what this chapter is about. Look there in verse number 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Who's them? In whose heart are the ways of them. Verse 6. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. You say, what are you getting at? Here in this psalm, he's talking all about the delight that we ought to have in God's house. He's talking about the desire that we ought to have to go to God's house. And then he's speaking about the devotion that we ought to have to God's house. You know, the truth of the matter is many times we'll be so burdened down, we're not going to have an automatic desire for God's house. We're not going to always wake up and delight to go there. And when your delight's not there and your desire's not there, that's when your devotion ought to be there. Right? He said, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and in whose heart are the ways of them. Who? Back in those days, in the time of Israel, before the church, God had a house just as he has a house now, but he did not deal through local churches. There was not Emory Heights Baptist Church and Liberty Baptist Church and Tabernacle and all these. There was one house, and it was in the city of God. It was in the city of Jerusalem. It was in the Mount Zion. It was in the holy city, the white city, the city of God, Jerusalem. And for worshipers of God then, if they wanted to go to God's house, that meant a lot more to them than it does us now. Because for many of them, when they would go to God's house, they would go for the holy days, and they would go there time after time and year after year for their feasts that they would have, the Passovers and the Feasts of Tabernacles. They would come around Jerusalem to worship there at God's house. Friend, it wasn't a hop and a skip and a jump for them to get there. It was not hopping in the car, turning on the AC, driving down the road, and getting into the church parking lot. This meant a total, that meant their lives revolved around their schedule with God's house, did it not? It not only meant that their lives revolved around it in this way, they were devoted to it in their time, but they were devoted to it with their hardships. You know, in verse number 6, he talks about those who pass through the valley of Baca. What is he talking about? We've preached on it before, the valley of tears. That's what it means. The valley of weeping, the valley of tears. For many people who went to God's house, there lay between them and Jerusalem a great valley. This is not a poetic term he's talking about. He's talking about a real valley back then that was called the Valley of Tears. It lay around the southeast side of Jerusalem. It took up a great area. And for many people, they had to go through the valley to get to God's house. They had to go coming and they had to go going back from God's house every single time. They could not go around it. It would be too much to go around the valley. They must have went through it. You say, what are you getting at? What I'm getting at is this. Friend, there is a direct relationship in the Word of God between going to God's house and coming from God's house and going into a valley and coming out of a valley and passing through a valley. Friend, I dare say there lays between us and church, every one of us, a valley. Friend, the doors on the front, there is a valley spiritually between us and them. And that valley keeps many people from ever coming here. That valley is what keeps many Christians from staying devoted, and they fall out and they backslide. And that valley is what keeps so many. Friend, as I said, not all of life is tent revivals and revival meetings and shouting services and glory messages and all of this, these blessings constantly. Friend, in life, going and coming from the house of God week by week and time after time and year after year, you will go through again and again and again the valley of tears in your life, the valley of weeping. It was called the valley of tears because it was so dry that there was no rain. It was a place of drought. It was a place of great heat and pressure. It was a place with no sustenance. It was a place of barrenness. It was a place of no vegetation. Friend, Jerusalem was a lovely place. God's house was a lovely place. Blessed is the man who is in the house of God. But it's not so said of the valley, is it? But friend, we must realize this and understand this, that the valley is a part of the Christian life. Friend, if you will go to God's house week after week and you will serve Him and put your strength in Him and long after His courts and His tabernacles, I can guarantee you that you will enter into the valley. And not just once or twice, you'll do it every single week. Do we not do it? Let's not be fake. We enter into a valley every single week. Who here feels like you have such a good service Sunday and Monday morning comes and it's just like, here is the valley of weeping. I must cross the valley and go back to my home now. A place of barrenness. Friend, it is inevitable. The valley must be passed through to get to the mountain of God. Friend, I love church. I love God's house. I love when the glory of God falls and the Spirit of God moves and we shout and we praise. I love when Christ is exalted and our hearts are rejuvenated and revived and rekindled and recharged and refixed and refocused. But friend, that's simply not so all the time. We're in the valley. How did they do it? That's what he's saying. Look in verse 5 again. Blessed is the man. That's all of us. It can be any of us. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Who? All of the faithful worshipers in Israel's day. The people that were willing to go through that valley year after year, time after time. Whatever devotion they had, whatever desire they had, whatever delight they had in God's house, it was enough to keep them going through that valley again and again, because they knew whatever hardship was in that valley, it would not be compared to the glory that would be found in God's house. And he said, blessed is the man who's got the same thing they got. Does that make sense? But whatever they had that got them through it time after time, blessed is the man who can get a hold of that. Blessed be us if we can get a true desire and a true delight and a true devotion to God's house. But I want you to look how they did it. How did they make it through the valley? Verse 6, who passing through the valley of Baca, the valley of tears, they make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. You say, what happened? In those days, as I said, the rain was scarce. There might be a rain every once in a while, but it would not be enough to sustain any type of creek or any of these pools. So what they did is they would get down as they would go, and they would actually dig pits. They would dig pools. They would dig small wells and things to catch that rain. So that way, whenever it rained, listen, they made full use of the water God sent. And that rain, once it would come through, it may not come back for many days. It may not come back for many weeks. It may not come back for months. But whatever it had rained was caught inside those pools. They would get down in that valley and they'd dig a pit. And they'd get down in that valley and they'd dig a pit. And they'd go a little farther and they'd dig a pit and they'd go a little farther. And every single time it rained, it'd fill up that well, that pit. And everybody before them could follow after them. And they would take part in the blessings that they had dug out and the things that it had captured. Friend, can I encourage you just a simple thought tonight? Friend, I understand you're going through a valley. Friend, you better believe that the preacher goes through valleys too. Friend, I know I get up here and I shout and you may think that it's all glory and preaching and I just do. Friend, it's not like that. Friend, the valley comes for those, honestly. Usually the more you desire God, the worse the valley is, the drier it is. Part of that is because God is shaping weakness in our life to make us dependent upon Him. And part of that is the devil putting us through tribulation, no doubt. But friend, I want you to know that there is nothing that we may go through that God does not use for good. Nothing. But can I encourage you tonight, when you get in your valley tomorrow, and by about, 10:30 in the morning, you're already ready to give up your whole Christian life and everything you dedicated to God Sunday. Get down on your hands and knees. Get in a closet somewhere. Get somewhere by yourself. Pray to God and dig a well. Would you? Would you dig a well? You say, what if I don't have anything to fill it with? Fill it with your tears then. He said it's the valley of tears, didn't he? Friend, God loves somebody who will pray to Him with all contrition and humility and will cry their eyes out to God. Friend, there is nothing shameful about giving your tears to God and crying for Him and His cause. Friend, it gets tiring week after week when you're trying to live right and nobody else will. And you're trying to tell others and they don't seem to listen. And you're trying to do these things. It will bring a man to tears. So dig a pit and let it catch him. And God will use those to sustain you to get a little farther through the valley. Get a little farther through the valley. Get up tomorrow morning and dig a well. And then get up Tuesday and dig a well. And then get up Wednesday and dig a well. I promise you, if you will dig a well of prayer and you'll fill it with the rain of prayer and the Word of God, it will be enough to sustain you through the dry times of life. Friend, sometimes our cup is not overflowing. But if we can just get enough to keep us going, God will give that abundance of rain. He'll give that abundance of water in our lives if we can just get enough to keep going through the valley. Friend, when's the last time we dug a well in prayer? That's what it's like to pray. It's like digging because nobody wants to do it because it's hard work. Did you know prayer is hard work, true prayer? I'm not talking about just praying before you go to bed, just praying over your food. I'm talking about getting down and getting somewhere by yourself and confessing to God the faults that you know you have and asking Him to show you the sins that you don't know about and asking Him to help you and telling Him that you don't know what in the world you're doing and you don't know what's going on. I'm talking about prayer is like digging a well. It's hard work, but if you can just get digging and you can get in a rhythm, I promise you it'll come a lot easier. The more you pray, the more wells you make, the more God has to fill you with. Friend, we go to church and we don't get anything out of it because we don't come with a well. Where's the rain supposed to catch? We can preach the water of God's Word, showers of it. We can throw buckets of it on you. But if you don't got a place to catch it in your heart, if you've not prayed out a well, then how's that going to get you through the valley of Baca, the valley of tears? We need that. We need some wells. God, give our church some wells. Look there in verse number 7. They go from strength to strength. I appreciate that. I'm glad God put that in there. It's almost as if it makes me think of almost a man just running in a pond there, a pool, and rocks on the surface skipping from one rock to the other. That's what I think of, going from strength to strength. That's what I think of. God gives you enough strength to make it through one day. And when it feels that all that strength is exhausted, there God gives you another place to step, another strength to catch on to, another strength to fill you up. Just when it seems that there's not enough grace to get you through, He said, I have more grace. Friend, just when you think that you've had all you can take, He gives more strength in your weakness. His strength is made perfect. If you'll just dig and you'll just pray and you'll just keep going, He'll add strength to your strength. He may let your strength run all the way down before He gives you more. But if you will dig a well and pray to Him and cast your cares upon Him, there'll be another strength. The road won't end through the valley. It'll keep going all the way through. God has not designed the valley, the road, to stop somewhere in the middle. It is to go, and it is to appear before God in Zion. You see that? They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appeareth before God in Zion. Zion was the city of God where the house of God was. He said every one of them. Every single person who will go through a valley and dig your way through it and pray your way through it, in no wise will God cast you out. In no wise will He give up on you. Friend, we serve a God that gives us strength from strength. He gives us grace for grace. In John chapter 1, grace for grace. And then in 1 Corinthians, He said glory to glory. Christians can go from strength to strength, from grace to grace, from glory to glory. They that wait upon God shall mount up with wings as eagles. They'll walk and not grow weary, run and not grow faint. They go from strength to strength and they appear before God. You know why we're able to keep coming here? It's because of God's strength. If it wasn't for His strength, I wouldn't be here. But God gives grace for grace and strength for strength. Can I encourage you tonight to dig a well? And then get up, march a little further, and then dig another. You better not go far without digging wells. You want to make sure there's one close, one to another. That's how our prayer life should be. And soon enough you'll look up, and there will be the city of God, the house of God, the glory of God. He'll get you through the other side of it, but we've got to be willing to dig on our way. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Musicians are making their way forward. How many would be honest and you say, Revis, I am going through a valley. I know exactly what you're talking about. Raise up your hand if that's you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Maybe you say, Revis, I know all about that valley of tears. That's me. Is there anybody like that? I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? For those of you that raised your hands, I know it's a dry valley. I know it doesn't seem like there's much comfort for your soul in the valley. May seem that there's not very many blessings there, very much joy. But I can promise you, if you will dig a well, God will give you something to fill it with. And it will sustain you through that valley. If anybody can keep you through it, God can. Father, thank You, Lord, for the privilege to be found in Your house. Lord, thank You, God, for the wells that You give us along the way, for the privilege of prayer. Lord, let us dig in prayer to catch Your word. Lord, help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as we sing?